Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. You know, I said this before, but one of the things about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is He said He will make you a witness, and that word witness is a martyr. Now, I don't want anyone to be a martyr in this room in that sense, but I want all of us to have that willingness to go a distance for the Lord that we didn't have yesterday, and tomorrow that it would increase once again. And there's a courage that the Lord is bringing to the church, I think. It's that whole roar of the lion that needs to come again. Because the reality is when the lion roars, the entire jungle goes quiet. Have you noticed? When the lion roars in a setup in nature, the entire forest goes quiet in that moment. And everything submits to the authority that speaks. And that's what God is wanting to do with us. Right? He's wanting to turn the church into that ferocious lion that it is, carrying the face of the Lion of Judah and walking in that authority and that anointing. And that's boldness. That's something that steps into places where no one else wants to go. And there's a willing heart, not because of us, but because of the one we behold, right? So, Lord, we pray for that. Father, I pray that what we experience now, what we experience in times to come, will all be preparation for that lion, that mighty, victorious bride that you are preparing, Lord. And as the face of a lion and all the different ones, Lord, but there's something about the boldness that you want to release in us, Lord. I pray for us for a revelation of what it meant, why you used the phrase Lion of Judah, Lord. Why is that, Father? That we would catch what it is, Lord. Thank you that there's one, not thank you, but Lord, yeah, thank you that there's one who is like a lion, but he's not. He pretends to be one, God, but the real lion is us. It's the church. It's your bride, Lord. And I pray that we will get that. And we will sort out the one who thinks he's a lion, Lord. We will walk in victory over the enemy time and time again, God. But Lord, I pray for devotion, Lord. I pray for a neediness, a desperation for you that we've not had before, Lord. Despite the blessings that we carry, Lord. That we would be a hunger for you like never before. In Jesus' name. Amen. Right. Thank you. Someone forgot his Bible here a while ago. It's a holy Bible, so it's a good one. And it's a New King James. Real Fuma, yeah, I thought it was you. Would you want to come and get it? And then also, who didn't get a manual? Just put up your hand real quick. If you didn't get a manual, all right. Can we maybe just, Martin, would you guys just keep up your hand and we can quickly bring you one? Thank you so much. If you could just sign in later with Audrey, that would be real helpful. Sure.
Thank you. I just want to say a word. While we were praising, I see like the Lord is opening up the heavens. And through the heaven gates, there came angels. And they had mirrors that was made of gold. And it was showing, it was putting it before all of us. So you can look into that mirror. And as the angels was there, they were cleaning some people's hair, cutting it, cleaning their nails, and there was people sitting, they were have thick bellies like that, and the angels was telling them, you must get practice in the spiritual, because there is a time that we must get ready. And then it was like the Lord was there the next moment, and for me, it's like the gate where you go in. So I asked the Lord, how would I go into him? And he said, as the one that is pure of heart. And I wondered, as I was going to him, I was wondering what he want to show me. And as I went through him, I was in the, like the streets. And I see all the people that was outcast. And he said, we must get pure of heart. So he can send us on the byways, and the byways where we will get these peoples that is the outcast in the outside. But we must go through him as the pure of heart.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's awesome. Thanks. Isn't that idea amazing of the angels? Every time we make a good choice for the Lord in free will, how the Father goes, look at them. That's incredible. And it's true because they don't have free will, but we do. Right? And every time we choose to... All right, you're back.
Sorry, when we was busy in the mirrors, we were getting close and... you know, like a king close, and we was kneeling in front of the mirror. But when we stand up and you look in the mirror, there was not a, I could see from the back, we were like kings, like a crown sure. and a sword sure. and everything. But in the mirror, the reflection was a servant with a plate, silver wow. plate. And wow. the Lord said that we mustn't act as he say we are. We must act as he have told us to go and do. We are the kingly children. But we must act as a servant into the world. So that wow. was the one.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much. Wow. That's cool. Yesterday I ministered in a place, and also again the whole angelic thing, ministering on the gifts, but there was so incredible angelic activity and people starting seeing and all of this, and it's just such a season where God is pouring that out more and more, and where he's actually becoming tangible in places. I'm not going to say much, but we have some interesting photos in Zimbabwe. You can decide for yourself what that is, but some interesting phenomena of it, that we saw on the photos. It was just incredible how God is just really releasing the angelic around us and just stuff happening. And in that, there's just this incredible release from heaven. It's amazing. I mean, we faced lots of the same things I faced the last time around there. But this time, I got angry a lot quicker. And because we beat it the last time around, it's easier this time. But it's so much fun knowing that you're standing and speaking to something that thinks it's big, but then you have all of this around you and all of this within you. And it's cool. And anyway, so the Lord is on our side, right? That's good news. I just want to chat with you guys tonight. That would have been, yeah, don't you want to do that? Just talk. But I have some stuff I have to teach you as well, so that's difficult. But we're leaving for India and Pakistan in a while, so if you want to be part of the guys praying for us, Sarki, would you put up your hand? Sarki is right there. So if you feel like you would like to just pray with us as a team, that would be really great. Martin and Nicolette and who else is here that's going? No one? Sabi and Anita and Tanya. All right, anyway, there's about six of us that's going. The ladies won't be going to Pakistan. It will only be the men. So please pray for us. Keep us in your prayers and keep that in mind. And if you want to be part of that, that's great. But it's so encouraging when I listen just this morning in this congregation, people coming back, yeah, that one has been to this nation, this one has been here, and that one is doing an outreach and a project there. It's amazing that God is just opening up doors and opening up opportunities for people to minister. And all we need to do is just to step out and say, we're ready for this. We want to take this on. And it's as simple as that. You know, yesterday I was just reminded again that scripture in James 4 verse 5 that says that, does not the spirit that he has made to dwell inside of you yearn jealously over you? Right? So the Holy Spirit is literally hovering over you with a jealousy waiting for us to activate that. It's like Genesis all over again. It's brooding over the face of the earth, and he's just waiting for someone to activate it through action. Right? He's just waiting, like those angels showing that picture of who we are, this king and this priest and the servant. That's how we appear, but we are kings and we are the lions and all of that. And all he's waiting for is someone just to step out and say, I'm ready and I'm willing to do something about this. Right? The guys are going to, some of them are going to give some feedback about Zimbabwe. Am I right? It was the first time you prayed for the sick, Yana, really, right? And deaf ears opened up. I mean, we had incredible stuff happening. It was so special. So, and it's just being willing to go. And I said to the guys just before we started tonight, you have no idea how much is in you already, right? Not just because of the school, just because of you're born again. You have no idea how much you carry inside of you. And some of you don't believe it, but until you get into action, you're not going to see it. Until you face a confrontation, how will you know? Right? You need a battle to fight. I'm aware of it so much. I need a battle to fight. Otherwise, we get bored, and bored is never good. Right? We think out programs and stuff that annoys everyone around us, but it keeps us real busy. Right? We need a genuine God battle in our life. Something to fight. It's the only way where you see if it's true or not, this book, and anyway. Right? How are you going to know if it's true? You need to see it literally manifest by doing something. Okay? Anyway, moving on. We have two teachings tonight. So, these topics for me, once again, as I said earlier, these are practical stuff that we need in our life. Right? Because, who gets it that spending hours in worship and in the presence and seeing angels and all of that, it is phenomenal. It is very underrated, by the way. It is amazing. But if something doesn't happen in there that actually changes the world around you, then there's no fruit. Okay, and we all know what happens with a tree without fruit. Okay, so we need fruit. And I'm interested in fruit in my own life. I'm interested in fruit in your life. And it's not for us. It's not for you. It's for the Father, right? The fruit is for the King. And we want to stand before Him with eternal fruit that's going to last. And how are we going to cultivate a life that is set up so that the supernatural can work every day? Now, we can preach on principles for days and days, but there's lots of good ones on the internet. You've heard lots of good ones. But I'm going to take about four, and there's a lot more. But we're going to start with four over the next couple of weeks. The first one that I want to speak to you about is generosity. All right? Generosity for me, and once again, this for me is a very personal journey. And when I share about this, I have the marks to show for it. I have the stories to tell for it. And my story is different than yours, so I don't compare your story to mine, but the principles are the same, right? And the funny thing is when we speak about money, because we're going to end up there, so tell someone next to you, finally, we're going to speak about money. Tell him I'm not here next week. Because if I preach about money, we're gone, right? But what a bunch of rubbish. Why shouldn't we preach about money? If we don't do it, where are you going to learn about it, right? Because it's in the Bible. Agreed? It's right there. The devil loves us not talking about finances. He absolutely loves us not doing that, right? Because if we don't, then he can distribute his message about what money should be like and what finances should look like, and we just follow like sheep in the wrong direction. And it's critically important, generosity, because there's a spiritual principle attached to it that you need to understand. God is a giver. Have you noticed? For God so loved the world that he gave, right? In the beginning, in Genesis, he created this whole planet with everything in it, and then he said, I give it to you, right? He's extremely generous. He's a giving God. And if we are predestined in his image, then what should we turn out to be? Generous people, am I right? Because there's a key hidden in generosity that unlocks the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God like nothing else in your life. I was thinking about it again in Zimbabwe. I actually said to someone, one of the biggest challenges in my life came when this started manifesting in my life, when I really started pushing towards this direction. Because we can do finances, and I don't have, listen, I'm not speaking about budgets. That's not what I'm doing. I'm speaking about generosity tonight. So however you want to do it, that's fine. But if you, the one thing in life that really shows where your eye is fixed on, for me personally, is finances. It's really easy for me to see which realm you're living and functioning from. Okay, because it's so easy to get entangled in this whole thing, and yet God says simply, I mean, it begins generosity. Let's kick the finances for a while. Let's begin with generosity. Matthew 10, verse 7 and 8. I love the verse. We all love it. But he says, go out, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, cleanse lepers, right? For freely you've received, now freely you must give. Okay? So do you get that it's not about money right now? This is about anointing. This is about gifts. The verse that got me to turn to the Lord again, to recommit or get born again, I don't know how that works, but anyway. The verse that got me was Proverbs 17:16 that says, and it literally hit me between the eyes, and the Lord, the first time I heard his voice that I know of, it was audible for me. I was sitting there, and I thought it was audible. I'm like, what? My brother spoke to me, and he said to me, my eldest brother, he said to me this verse, speaking about knowledge that we've received about a property course that we did. And he looked at me, and he said, and I was still using drugs and whatever. And he said, this verse came, and it said, why is there in the hand of a fool the purchase price for wisdom, yet he has no heart for it? Meaning, we have such richness inside of us, yet we don't put any value to that. And we become stingy in our being by not giving out healing and raising the dead and casting out demons and bringing hope and joy and life and peace, right? That's the point. We become stingy in our very nature. And the whole world is focused around you. I love Apple, so don't get me wrong. It's a godly thing. But it's iPod and iPad and right? Right? So everything is about pulling world closer to me, making it about me, holding on to stuff, building up the whole deal, right? There's nothing wrong with saving. Just please, can I say this again? There's nothing wrong with saving or pension funds or whatever. You figure that out for yourself, right? I have no issue with those things. But everything about us is about drawing to me. Instead, we're in the kingdom, everything is about pushing away from me, giving out. The more I give, the more I get. The more I die, the more I live. The more I lose, the more I gain, right? God is the opposite. The world is proclaiming to us. And Luke 16:11 says, scary verses, that whole thing about the shrewd manager. That's the most interesting parable for me. Sometimes I read them and I go, really? Did Jesus say that? But he did. Bunch of stuff in there, commending the shrewd manager for making schemes and, you know, whatever. But interesting. And then this verse, 11, and this is scary. It scared the living daylights out of me a while ago when I got onto this. It says, if then you have not been faithful in the unrighteous wealth, who will entrust you with the true riches? Right? He's speaking about money, unrighteous wealth, true riches, heaven's reward. Okay, he's going, if I can't even trust you with money, how am I supposed to give you the power to raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out demons and change the world? That's sort of what I read, my interpretation, right? It's a scary verse, and it got me thinking, because there's a couple of things that I'm still waiting to happen in my life, and I went, maybe we should look at this, right? Maybe there's merit in just looking at the whole idea of generosity. So now I am speaking about money. Are you ready? All right. Are you still calm? As I said, for me, it is easy. Money shows which realm I'm living from, right? There's something that happens in finances with people and with me, for me personally. I mean, how many excuses do I have for not doing stuff because of finances? How many excuses do I have for, you know, because it's going to be out of my budget for blessing someone, helping someone, whatever it might be? This is not only a missions trip. This is just life, right? Being generous in life. Lauren Cunningham wrote in a book, and this just stuck with me. He said, money is like a chameleon. It will always show the color of its owner's heart. Right? And that annoyed me. I didn't like that statement. Because I come from a business background. I actually really enjoyed doing business, but, you know, my passion for it died, and, you know, I was in the property world and all sorts of franchises and stuff. So this stuff excited me, right? This is what I dreamed about, is money. And I didn't think it was wrong. There's nothing wrong with being passionate about being entrepreneurial. But in that, I remember how one night I just got born again. And I sat in my nice, cozy apartment with my nice new car and my nice property in another place and my nice franchises, and everything was nice, right? Nothing wrong with it, but it was really nice and clean and very nothing on the fridge, magnets, and just clean, right? No nappies on the floor. Wow, no, Lord, I'm not longing. I repent. No, I'm just kidding. So I was sitting in my apartment and I was saved a couple of months, and I heard the Lord said clearly to me, are you ready to get uncomfortable? And being a zealous, over-eager Christian, young in the Lord, I said, yes, Lord. Right? Thinking, I don't know, he's going to ask me to witness to someone or something like that. In a process of a couple of months, I literally sold everything. Lost would be a strong word, but kind of. Lost everything. Had to restart everything. And had to learn to begin with literally nothing, right? From having all of that. And now you can say, well, and this was not God punishing me. This was God teaching me about something about his heart and learning me about generosity in the process. I'm a slow learner at times, so it took some time, right? Because who knows that, who knows that poverty has got nothing to do with wealth being rich or poor? Have you noticed that? Proverbs 10 verse 15 says, a rich man's wealth is his strong city, meaning he's deceived, right? And then it goes on, the poverty of the poor is their ruin. It's the poverty of the poor is their ruin. That is a mentality just as much as the rich man's strong city. They're both a strong city, both is a stronghold, It's got nothing to do with being rich or poor. It's a mindset. Because a poverty mentality is someone that clings to everything, that holds on to everything, and that has no faith in God to provide despite his budget or his bank balance. Right? That's poverty to me. Is when I'm limited by the natural. In the eyes of God, that is poverty. And of course, money helps. Don't get me wrong. It helps. But again, it's a matter of, it's the same as in healing. Doctors are wonderful. Medicine helps. But where do I go first? What is the source? What is the root that I'm going to begin this thing at? And so this journey for me began, like, it's a long process, but it began for me. Because tithing was an annoying word in my book. It kind of still is, but for different, well, not annoying, but I think there's a higher level. But tithing, I felt was really, you know, I felt it was law. I felt it was something that was pushed on us. You know, if a guy's preaching about money again, that really annoyed me. That whole deal. So that wasn't, I felt it's something that you are led into. So meaning, if God tells me to give, I will give, right? Which is cute, but it's not exactly true, right? It's like I will worship when I feel like it. I'm like, really? Since when does it work like that? What happened to a sacrifice or an offering of praise? I thought about it again this morning. I was standing here just worshiping, having a real good time. And I'm thinking about how many times in my life I stood in the place where I absolutely felt like I didn't want to give it to him. And I absolutely did not want to worship. Because my emotions weren't all tingly and, right? But I did. And it was a sacrifice. It is an offering. And that thing carries weight in the spirit realm. And I look around and I wonder, because I can feel people going through heavy stuff. And I think, how many of you are missing an opportunity to break the yoke simply by going against your emotion in that moment? Right? It's not an, it is always a choice, but it's not really. It's the same with giving. I had a point. Where was I? Tithing. That's good. Oh, okay. Before I get deeper into that, the whole thing that I want to just, what I want to loose up tonight for you is there's a supernatural journey in finances that I want to live in more. As much as I enjoy prophetic, as much as I enjoy healing ministry, I want to see God moving supernaturally in my finances. I want to see it in your business. I want to see it in your whatever it is, your ventures that you take on. And that's what it's about. I mean, money should be exciting just as much as healing is exciting, right? It should be fun. It should be fun to get into this and to see God do things over and above my ability, over and above what is normal and natural. That's my point. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? He wasn't lying. He had something going there, and we need to find out why. The reality is that giving, because what I said in the beginning, the whole world is about drawing into me, right? Everything is about me pulling in, holding on, me and my, you know, family and getting that right. And there's nothing wrong. We should do that. But there's a wrong balance that came with that, right? Everything is drawing towards this place where Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's not about, if you only give because you're waiting for the 30, 60, 100 fold, which is anyway not about giving, it's about the word of the Lord. But if that's why you give, and bless your heart, you probably will get something back, but that cannot be your motive, right? That's not the reward of giving. That's not the blessing of giving. The blessing of giving is freedom, right? Every time that I give against my budget, I'm giving into freedom, because I'm giving against the system. I'm sowing into the eternal reward and into the eternal resources of heaven versus just drawing from what is natural. And I'm not saying be irresponsible. I'll definitely talk about that as well. But every time I do that, I'm pushing against a system that is trying to pull you down, is trying to say it's not possible, that's trying to say hold everything in and da-da-da-da-da, right? That's the whole deal. It's freedom. It's spiritual warfare at its best. In Nehemiah chapter 5, or is it 6? 5. It's this whole deal where Nehemiah gets annoyed when he saw how the people oppressed the people of his nation, because there was real poverty going on in the nation, right? They were rebuilding a city. People came out of Babel, what's it like? You know, Babylon, thank you. They came out of, Babylon. They came out of that place. And so there's all of this stuff going on. And then he starts saying how he set the captives free, things that he started doing to set people free. And then he comes to this place, and I'm going to read it to you because I think it's amazing. Listen to this guy in verse 14. So he gives everything that he's done. He made certain decrees. He made certain decisions to free the people up, to lift the oppression of poverty, right? So he started doing that. And then he goes and he says, moreover, meaning as well. I did all of that and I did the following to lift this thing off. And listen, I'm just going to read it to you. From the time that I was appointed to be the governor in the land of Judah, neither I nor my brothers ate the food allowance of the governor. The four of the governors who were before me laid heavy burdens on the people and took from them for their daily ration 40 shekels of silver. Even their servants lorded it over the people. But I did not do so because of the fear of God, meaning I'm living from a different rail. And I'm not going to oppress people because of my greed and because of my position. I also persevered in the work on this wall, and we acquired no land, and all my servants were gathered there for the work. Moreover, meaning I did this as well to lift oppression as an act of spiritual warfare. This is what he's saying. There were at my table 150 men, Jews and officials, besides those who came to us from the nations that were around us. Now, what was prepared at my expense for each day was one ox and six choice sheep and birds, and every 10 days all kinds of wine in abundance. Yet for all this I did not demand the food allowance of the governor, because the service was too heavy on the people. Remember for my good, oh my God, all that I have done for this people. My point is this. He decreed things, he made laws, etc., etc. Then he went into a place of generosity to keep on pushing against poverty spirit. Do you see that? Out of his own pocket, he said, I deny myself of certain rights that is rightfully mine. I could have taken that, but I choose to go against my own flesh, and I choose to step in the opposite spirit, be generous, and keep on pushing against poverty to make a difference. Right? That is what generosity is about. It's about breaking the poverty spirit in your own life and those around you. I can share story upon story. I'm going to do it. Remind me of tithing in the church, in our own church, if I forget it, right, when we get there. That's important. Because now what happens is you enter into the supernatural realm of God, of finances, because you're living from his laws and from his rules. It's sowing and reaping, all of that happening. So now I'm open for receiving coins in the mouth of fish, right? Matthew 17. Peter, you need tax money. Go and look in the fish, right? And there's a coin. I mean, who's had that before? Has anyone had that before? Now I'm curious. No? Okay. Man, I would have liked that. All right. Or why not? If he can multiply food, why not multiply money? Right? And he does it. I know testimonies about it. It was very funny. We had a testimony about David Hogan. He had a $100 bill in his drawer. Then he went traveling somewhere. He got excited, gave all his money away, and they didn't have money to drive back to Mexico. So this whole thing, the supernatural story that had to happen for them to get there. Anyway, finally he gets home, and there was only $100, no, it was $300, in his drawer. And then he opened the drawer, and it turned into $3,000. So he flipped out, and then the next night it happened again. Now we're at $6,000. Now who agrees this is a good deal? And now he starts thinking, which dollar bill? Maybe if you put the top one, or maybe it's the bottom one. And one of my friends heard it when we were in Zimbabwe the previous time, and he's like, I'm doing it. So he took a $100 bill and put it on the coffee table in the hotel room. And when we got there the next morning, it was gone. Because the wind got hold of it. But we got it again later on from the corner, but nothing changed. Anyway, but the point is, it's supernatural stuff can happen, right? So we have to be open for that. If diamonds can fall, then I'm sure money can multiply. But anyway, but again, I believe it comes with a heart that is positioned for generosity. I believe it comes from a mentality of freedom, not allowing money to be this thing in your life that holds you down and that holds you back. Because we can actually, by sowing in the natural, we reap in the eternal, right? We sow in the natural to receive an eternal reward, okay? And when you start seeing that, think about everything that you're going through, the suffering, the difficulty. We sow in the natural to receive an eternal reward. That encourages me, right? There are some things that you do today, that you give today, that you will not see the reward right now. But one day, at the pearly gates or whatever they're going to look like, you're going to get them, right? And you're going to go, that was worth it. And we have to learn to get an eternal perspective on things. And before I kick on with testimonies, I just want to say, because many of you sit here, you're in business, and a lot of you go and you look at missionaries or people like that, and you say, well, but you know, I can't have a story like that because my life is not positioned like them. You know, they live by faith and whatever. I have a friend who's an electronic engineer, and he had a couple of missionary friends, and he got stuck with this issue. He said, God, I want to see you provide for me supernaturally, but I have a salary, and that's a problem. So, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Why can't I have stories like that? Now, so he kept on moaning and complaining with the Lord about this, and then one morning the Lord said to him, but we can fix that, Dion. And he said, okay, really excited, like I was about getting uncomfortable. You only do it once, and then you learn, right? And then the Lord said to him, no, it's easy. Just give away your salary this month, and you can see me work. And he was like, oh, that didn't occur to me. And anyway, so he did it, which is amazing. All he did is he just paid his debit orders. That's all he did, and everything else he gave away. And today he has a tremendous story that started back then, and still to this day, he has this incredible story of God's provision in his life. Although he's a businessman, although he has a salary, but he saw it happening there one day when he decided, I'm just going to give everything away this month and trust the Lord to provide for me in that way. So it's available to anyone. Ooh, anyone complaining? Because we can fix that. About the tithe, let's just say that quickly. I'm going to touch on that. A lot of people say tithe is Old Testament and it's law. But the reality is that a tithe kicked in before the law. It was still part of the promise. In Genesis 14, you see a tithe for the first time, and that's when Abram had an encounter with Melchizedek, right? He was so overwhelmed by this guy, and he just, you know, Melchizedek served him wine and bread, which is pointing to Jesus. How amazing is this guy? I mean, you know, coming from heaven or wherever he came from, he's just this interesting character. Jesus is forever in the order of Melchizedek. He appeared, Abram saw him, and he was just like, I've got to do something. So he gave him 10% of all he has, which is interesting. This has nothing to do with the law. Yes.
Just there, yeah. That was a replica of Jesus. After that, Abram gave the 9 things to all the other people also there.
Sure.
And he said just that you would know that you can't say that God is not providing for you.
Yeah.
So that shows to Jesus Christ
sure.
what he's calling us to do.
Amen.
Everything, away.
Everything, yeah. So, but just to begin with the whole tithe thing, it's not a law thing. We made it a law thing, but it wasn't. It didn't start out like that, right? So anyway, my journey, with all of this in mind now, let's start on my journey. I'm going to try and help you. Two phrases really annoyed me. But one was by Bill Johnson, and one day I just heard him say that the only reason you don't tithe is because you don't have faith. And I thought, I'm a man of faith, right? And I didn't like that statement particularly much. And so that annoyed me. And then in the same week, I read the story by Lauren Cunningham once again. There's a really good book on money, Daring to Live on the Edge, if you can get hold of that by him. And in the same story, he tells of this young pastor who had a small church in a small village, struggling church. And this traveling evangelist, big guy, came in and the whole thing. And every night they were eating together. And one night the evangelist touched on tithing and on giving. And this guy confessed. He said, I don't give. It's just going, it's so tight at the moment in my finances, but I it's just not possible. And the evangelist said to him, okay, I'll make a deal with you. You start tithing now. And in 1 year's time, we give it 1 year. If whenever you get stuck financially, you can give me a call and I'll bail you out, right? That's a good deal, am I right? That's kind of easy, simple maths. So 1 year went by. The pastor phones the evangelist and says to him, well, you know, it's been a year. I didn't have any need to phone you. Very excited and, you know, kind of like, wow, this is working. And the evangelist kind of turned on him, sneaky guy, and he said to him, he rebuked him and he said, why did you need a man to promise you something God already promised you he will do? And when I heard that story, I'm like, okay, this sucks. All right? And I'm married to this lady that she'll give everything away. I mean, I'm like, I get birthday gifts and I come home and I'm like, where is it? She's like, oh no, we took it to other people for tea. It was really nice, Ferrero Rocher's. And not once, regularly that will happen. She just gives everything away, right? So she was already annoyed with me in any way about this whole idea. I did give, but very under the leading of the Holy Spirit, right? So that turned me around. So now this is happening in a season where we were literally at the lowest place in our finances. I mean, it was not good. We made some radical decisions to get out of business, the whole deal. And I'm stuck with 100 rand in my account. And the end of the month is coming and the 100 rand doesn't cover my bills. I don't know about you, but it doesn't. And we're on our way on this missions trip that I'm leading. And I say, okay, God, I'm going to begin. 10% of that's really ridiculous. So I'm just going to give all of it, whatever, you know, like 10 rand, you know, whatever. So I went and I picked one guy in the group. The group was struggling to get breakthrough in their finances for this trip. So I picked one guy in the group and I put 100 rand in his hand. And I probably think he was going, idiot. You know, like, this is for your trip. And he's going, what? He doesn't know what it cost me, right? And the journey began. And what we started seeing over the months is after that, we went on that trip. And we went on a different one first to a nation in Ukraine. Then we went to this one. And in the Ukraine, we were literally sitting there knowing that if I go back home, it's going to get interesting going back home. So we go back home, and I've never been able in business to get debt-free, never. I didn't have much, well, until we sold properties, but I didn't have much. But I could never get rid of credit card debt in my life, never. I just couldn't. I mean, I had a pretty decent salary. I didn't live in extravagance or whatever, but I just could never get that thing broken. So I'm stuck with that. I'm starting to give my 100 rand away, and, you know, the Lord is speaking to me about giving, and I'm in the Ukraine knowing going home, this is going to be interesting. We go home. One of my friends is a missionary, right? Also living by faith at that time. I see suddenly he's paying amounts of money into my account. You know, you receive the text messages. And I know for him, he paid him one amount, and then 2 days later he paid another amount. And I know for this guy, this is a lot, right? He's pushing. And I realize suddenly I look at him, and for the first time I felt that I understood what he's doing. Because I spoke to him after, and he said he just felt the Lord said he has to do this. And what he did is by his giving, listen to this, he broke open finances in my life, not because of what he gave, but what he did in the Spirit over our life. And as I set my feet back in South Africa, suddenly money started coming in like you cannot believe. And in a matter of 2 or 3 months, we were debt-free from being a place of nothing, minus whatever, and having no hope and no future regarding money, no plan, no backup. And one guy's obedience in generosity shifted something in the Spirit over me. My 100 rand shifted something over that missions trip, so much so that it's the first trip where I could actually take people for free with and we would still have money left. It was absolutely abundance. We had an evening service running then, and I mean, I never pushed for money. I will never push for that. I still don't. For me, it's between you and the Lord. Give. If you don't give, for me, you're kind of, you know, that's your own silliness. So just give. I'm not going to try and convince you to sort it out yourself. I didn't say a word differently about giving. I didn't teach on giving once. I didn't do this, right? All I did is we started giving very generously into that evening service. Suddenly, we saw like literally 100 to 200% growth in the evening tithing, right? And it's not because because of my giving. Not because of the amount I gave. It's just something, once again, in the Spirit broke because we pushed against the system, right? And something about that started breaking open. As I said later, we're still debt-free today, and we shouldn't be, right? Because it doesn't make sense. Even then, what we distributed, what we gave, and it's not about me, it's about God's goodness, so please understand me right. What we gave, it doesn't make sense in our budget. It doesn't. Yet, it's working, I mean, better than ever before. We're debt-free. I mean, however you think about it, but I'm free. I don't have an issue about any of that at night. And not there's good, dead, bad, dead, all of that. I get that. But the issue is I decided for me, we absolutely had to be dead free because our life is positioned that tomorrow, if God speaks, I can go wherever he wants me to go, my whole family, right? For me, that was something of value that I really wanted in there. And this is my story, right? So yours is different. Try and apply it to your story. But we saw time and time again how the Lord did this. I mean, we started giving. I said to him, God, I cannot give 10%. I'm going to give 5%. So we did that. He upped it and he upped it and he kept on doing it and he kept on doing it. And we are beyond 10%. Not. It's just that's where he's pushed us, right? Because I don't believe in tithing. I believe in generosity. There's a difference, right? I believe in generosity. Also, which I need to tell you, is I decided, because I just started enjoying giving so much, like, really, it's fun. I go at the end of the month, and I'm like, okay, Lord, where is it going, right? And I love doing it. And Maurice comes, and she's like, but I also wanted to say, but I'm like, you're too late. It's gone, right? It's fun. I enjoy that, because it's more blessed to give than to receive, right? And it's something I learned, because it didn't come naturally for me. Okay, my family were generous people, but I didn't see it. When I look at Maurice's family, they were scary generous, right? So for me, that was an example that I saw and saw again. The company that I worked for, I saw their generosity and how God blessed these people, literally in a season where all companies in that industry, some of the biggest guys in the construction industry would shut down, they would have too much work. To this day, it's their story. And it's a company that gives and they're generous. So I've just seen it over and over again. I got carried away and I decided I'm going to up it a little bit more, right? Because I'm having so much fun and it's just, you know, God is just, you know, we give and God gives more and it's just do it, right? And it's not, just again, it's not like we understand the context of where we're at. But I have everything I need. I'm cared for. We're provided for, right? Then I got a little bit carried away. And I upped it again. And the interesting thing is the blessing disappeared immediately. Like in immediately. Because I stepped out of obedience. And it was a thing of I grew in pride because of his provision in my life. And you can do that too. Expensive lesson that cost my family a lot. Right? And we went through a couple of months doing that, and in that still, God did these phenomenal things. I mean, it was really bad at that time. Not just that was definitely one reason and a bunch of other stuff. It was so bad. I remember one night we sat around the table, I held Maurice's hand, and she is ferocious when it comes to giving and God's provision. I mean, she's fearless. Literally, my wife scares me. She's just like, it's not an issue, right? I would still kind of be like, don't know about that. She's just, no problem, right? And even she got scared. And I'm like, this is very discouraging. If the bold one in the house gets scared, then you've got a problem, right? So I'm sitting, and now I have to be strong. And I'm like, it's going to be okay. And that's my favorite thing to say. It's going to be okay, right? My children, my wife hears it all the time. I don't know why, but I know it's going to be. So we sit around the table, we pray, and literally she's weeping. I'm going, God, my wife, you know, I mean, I've given this life to you now. You know, I can't even take care of them. You need to help us out. You know, I'm doing this for you kind of deal. And that night we go to bed, and on our way to bed, I just throw up this little prayer in the back of my mind, and I go, Lord, could you please do something extremely supernatural in our finances? It will be a sign and a wonder to us and to my wife that we're going to be okay. That next morning, 7 o'clock, we had an orphan girl living with us back then. I take her to school. On my way back, we get a phone call, and someone wants to come to our house at 7 o'clock. I thought that's pretty rude. But I like the person, so I said, okay, you can come. And I wasn't there, so I said, Maurice is there. She can handle it. So you're welcome to go. And I get home finally. When we get home, someone had a dream about us that night. Someone who, by the way, doesn't dream prophetically at all, as I understand from the spouse, had a dream about us that they urgently have to send us money. They show up with a check for a big amount of money that really, really helped us out that morning. And God just sorted that thing out in a moment. I still believe it's grace, but it's because we stepped into a place where we've allowed his way of finances to manifest in us, right? Bill Johnson has this amazing statement that he makes. He says, the answer for riches is not poverty, or for greed is not poverty, but it is generosity, right? Think about that a little bit. Because often we have an idea that money is bad. Money is not bad. The love of money is bad. Money is good. But how I keep myself and how I position myself in a place of dependence is through generosity. Okay? It's through living generously and to live in giving beyond what makes sense within the limitations of obedience. As I said, I saw firsthand, because people often said things like you cannot outgive God and, you know, all of that rubbish. It's rubbish. Okay? You cannot give God if you're disobedient. Right? Obedience is what counts. But I want to challenge you tonight in this area to say, how are you going to start living differently in this area? Oh, you have to give. I believe there's three areas which you need to give to. I believe you give to church, right? I believe you give to missions. It's like in ministry, church, missions, and the orphans, the poor, the needy. For me, those three areas, you need to hit that in some way. And you must give to the church. I absolutely believe that. That's necessary. And it's not because I'm in a church, whatever, it doesn't matter to me, but I just believe it's right. Okay? And what it does, it opens the heaven above you. It opens the heavens more and more above you. It's just the way it is. God says, I mean, he's so in love with the poor. In Proverbs 19:17, you all know it. Whoever is generous to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will repay him for his deed. I mean, how phenomenal is that promise? Think about it. How amazing is that promise? When was the last time you did something, gave something to someone that absolutely cannot give anything back to you? There's that thing in Luke 14, I think, where it's about the banquet, where he says, you give banquets to people, you invite them to dinner, but they can give you something back. They will invite you back again. I say, but I tell you this, there's a reward in you inviting people who can give nothing back to you. And for that, you will get a reward from heaven. When was the last time you threw a banquet for some people who you absolutely knew can give nothing back to you? Nothing. Not money, not material things, not richness of personality or whatever. Nothing. Right? Because there's something in that, because it's dying to self and it's being in a place of absolute generosity. It's Christ-likeness. For God so loved the world that he gave his only beloved son. I want to tell you, I absolutely believe that generosity is the way we're going to beat poverty. And it's not making people dependent. It's the spirit of poverty that we're going to break by acting in the opposite spirit. By moving out against the norm. And you know, I've seen it in some of the communities we minister, in some of the townships. If I can get the pastor's mind to swing on this one thing, it's tremendous to see what starts happening in them. When I get them to swing off of receiving from man versus receiving from God and living with an open hand in every area, it's tremendous to see the growth that happens in that church and that community. And people say, but how can you say that to the poor? I'll say it to anyone because I had 100 rand in my account. Whatever, you can't. I knew where we were at. So, and I can see it time and again. That time we went through this hard time, we were down and out again. In 2 days, God turned that thing around, pulled us out of debt. I mean, we trusted for a car for about 15 months. We got a new car. We got out of debt and over and above. I mean, just in 2 days, it just happened, bam, like that, because we switched back into obedience and we just reminded ourselves again of the story of God in our life. But again, generosity is the key. And I know my situation is different because of the way we live and the mission, old deal. But how can you do this in your business? How can you do this in your personal capacity where you're at right now? Forget a percentage for a moment. Get that out of your mind. A lot of you are already givers. I know that. But I want to challenge you to go for more. Right? In obedience, but go for more. Some of you, maybe you haven't started on this journey yet. I want to challenge you. Give 50 rand. Give something. Just start somewhere small and say, God, I'm going to start trusting you. This is the one thing where he says, you can test me in this. Right? Malachi 4. He does say, you can test me in this. And I don't mean be silly about it, But just see his provision, right? I mean, we it's fun. We literally go to restaurants now at times. We eat, drink two coffees, and then we pick someone. Right? We feel one of the waiters, anyone, we're going to bless tremendously in that day out of our tithe. We do it regularly. I love it. It's so much fun when you see that person go, whoa, it's not a 10 rand, right? And we've seen it in my office just next door. If you haven't been here before, you need to find out where that is. But my office next door, I've seen how it literally changed the atmosphere in that place. Yesterday, we went there again with friends, and they are so happy to see us. Not because we give, but it's prophecy, it's giving, it's the kingdom of heaven is coming into that place more and more. The waiters are excited to see us, right? Something is changing. The other night, we did it again. Right? And it's not because we're filthy rich. No, we started in trouble. Some of you are waiting that you get out of debt. Forget about it. Start now. Start now. Be obedient and just start. The moment you think that if one day, I hear people come to me and they're like, man, I want to do kingdom business. It's going to be great. I'm going to make lots of money and then I'm going to start giving. I'm like, that's sweet, and I'm really excited with you about it, and, you know, keep my number, because I'm needy, whatever. And but I hear the intention of the heart, but the point is, if you can't give now, why on earth do you think you're going to give when you have 1 million rand or 2 million or 5 million or whatever, millions, billions in your account? Why do you think you're going to do it then? If you can't give in trouble, why do you think you're going to be able to give in the good times? Okay? Because what we do naturally is as we grow in wealth, what do? We make our world and our luxuries and everything becomes bigger. Our circle of living opens up wider towards us once again and not the other way. Right? Where's the limit? Where's the thing that you're going to say, this is enough, more than enough, everything above this, I'm already giving up to that point. And now I've reached enough. Everything above and beyond, we can start getting into the kingdom. Right? If we can get this thing of generosity, it's going to open heaven for us. But we can become part of a generation that will see a next generation be debt-free. I believe it. Because we're going to break the poverty spirit, that control spirit that wants to come through the financial systems of the world. And again, I get good debt, I get bad debt, I get that sometimes you go into Egypt to get into, I understand all of that, and I'm not against that. All I'm saying is God wants us to live differently. Imagine if all your friends were debt-free, right? Imagine just this, if all the interest that you had to pay on the debt over your life, just that, if you can get that back and sow that into the kingdom, what kind of a difference could that have made by now? Think about it. And it's not to make, I'm just saying, I think our goal should shift. I think our way of thinking should shift. When I hear, like, guys that's come in and preach about business and ministry, business and the supernatural, I get excited when I hear about guys dreaming about new banking systems, new way of, all of us, just to free us up, right? But we can be part of it, and we have to begin today with generosity. And I'm not pushing you for anything. I don't want anything from you, really. Go and decide what you want to do with that. Give to whoever you want to give. It's got nothing to do with me, right? This is between you and the Lord. And all I can say is I've seen how this has made me freer, more bold, and how I've seen a release from heaven because of this. Not only in finances, but in everything, right? We have to come to a place where we cannot be owned. Learn to give in areas where you see the block is there. I still do it to this day. Where I see things, where we're going into projects and I see it's not, you know that moment? Give. Just break the floodgates. Start doing it. Right? It's tremendous because it's warfare. It's literally militant action from the side of the kingdom against that side of oppression that's trying to hold us back. And that's the power of it. That's the power of really getting to that. Jesus says in Luke 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. You all know that thing. To proclaim the good news, etc., etc. He ends with, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's liberty or jubilee. Right? Jubilee is an amazing thing. Jubilee, if you read Leviticus 25 to 27, you can see all about it. But Jubilee was what? It was the cancellation of all debt. All of it. Monetary, everything. All debt were canceled. It was so intense that in Jubilee, if you sold land because of financial difficulty that owned, that your family owned, that you would sell it off, in Jubilee you would get it back. Your family would actually get it back. I mean, how amazing is that? And he says, I'm declaring the year of the Lord's favor. I'm declaring it's Jubilee, and it started 2,000 years back. We're in Jubilee. Meaning, we have the legal right to say, God, we call back the riches. We call back the abundance. We call a debt-free generation, and we call a debt-free life in for ourselves by applying your principles. But the deal about Jubilee for the Israelites is you still had to not sow in that year. Right? You still had to not put seed in the ground in the seventh year, which is risky if you're a farmer because that's your income. But then what would happen in year 50, all debt would be returned. Year 51, you would sow double or triple what you would in 1 year. That's what happens. But it began with obedience to what the Lord said you're supposed to do, applying His principles to your life, and then Jubilee is drawn to you. It's like everything else. There's principles that's running. You need to step into those principles, start living from it so that you can reap the reward. And that's the blessing and the privilege that we have. And that's the blessing of generosity, right? So I want to encourage you guys in this. I want to challenge you in this to say, and listen, it's not always easy. I can stand here and say we have everything we need, and we do. But it's not like sometimes you go and say that that little bit extra would have been nice, right? But that's not the point. The blessing of what we've seen, and as, I don't want, it's always hard to speak about this for sometimes, for, not sometimes, always. But what we've seen, how a little family's income, just because of this principle, how we've impacted families. I can tell you story upon story, but literally families, a community we've impacted, right? I mean, stuff, and it's the Lord's blessing, right? It's not, it's got nothing to do with it. It's the Lord's blessing, it's favor, all of that. But I believe favor comes when we start walking in His principles. And that's what I want to encourage you in. To say, God, I'm going to stretch in this area, even this area, I'm going to stretch for more. Because I want to be one, me personally, I want to be one that could have been trusted with unrighteous wealth so that I can get heaven's riches. That's what I'm going for. That's all I have in mind. I'm seeing this. I'm seeing people who have a need, and I'm thinking, we've got a lot. We've got a lot, and I can help, right? Even if it's a little bit, but I can help, even if it's at one or that two, but help someone. Pick two orphans and just give to them, man. Give 100 rand, give 200 rand, whatever. Just start. Pick a missionary or a trip or whatever. Give 100 rand. I love seeing in the ministry account when people give 50 rand. I can't tell you what that does to my spirit, because something in me goes, wow, they got it. I love the 50s. Well, we haven't had much of those, but I love those particularly much as well. But what I'm trying to say to you is I love it when I see a 50 come in, because someone got something about, I have only this, but I'm sacrificing that into it. I don't know who they are. I don't know their names. I don't care in that, to be honest. I don't write thank you notes. I don't. I'm sorry. It's between you and the Lord. You act in obedience. I will be grateful towards Him and towards you, but you have to be in obedience, right? But I love that because someone got it. And that's why I say start with whatever you have. Start giving it to someone. Go on the streets tomorrow. Just bless someone. Bless a car, God. Bless someone standing on a corner more than you would usually, just to break the flow of things. Just go against the flow of it a little bit, right? He's so faithful in this, and we have got much. I know you don't feel like it, but we have got much. And the blessing is, as we step into this, we get more, because we're living in freedom suddenly. Freedom, how do you put a price on freedom? How do you put a price on that, right? And that's what I want to see for you and for me more and more, that we will grow in that. Okay. So Lord, I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes. All right. Lord, I pray that you will teach us about this. Lord, I pray that you will teach us about generosity, God, that we will catch your heart on this, Lord. And Lord, we haven't arrived, and we never do, and we want to grow in this, Lord. I pray for each and every one of us, wherever we are at, that you will give us the boldness, give us the faith, and the leading to grow in this, Lord. Lord, I want to pray tonight for people that are struggling with finances at the moment. Lord, that has that weight of not knowing about tomorrow. We all have been there in some way or another, Lord, but I want to speak jubilee over them. I want to speak jubilee over people that's sitting with debt, and it's giving them sleepless nights at the moment, Lord. And it's got nothing to do with irresponsibility, nothing. It's just the place where they are at, Lord. I want to pray over them. Father, I want to speak a release tonight. I want to invite you, if you're one of those, just financial, you need a financial breakthrough, you need a debt breakthrough, I want you to stand. Usually that's a lot of people, so don't be ashamed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you see every heart, Lord. You see the cry. You see the position, Lord. You see pure hearts that's wanting to move in a direction that you have for us, God. And I just come in Jesus' name, and I declare financial breakthrough, Lord. Lord, I pray for creative ideas that finances would flow, Lord. I pray for business ideas to come in, Lord. I pray for open doors, new jobs, whatever needs to happen, Lord. But we say in Jesus' name that the floodgates of heaven on finances will open over each and every individual right now, Lord. I pray for a flow of heaven to come, Lord. And I say in Jesus' name, I rebuke the oppressor over them. I rebuke the one that's choking. And I say in Jesus' name, it stops today in the name of Jesus. I even speak to those, it's like you feel you have a hole in your pocket. What I mean is enough money comes in, but it's just like it just never works. I don't know how to explain it. It comes in and it just goes out as quickly and you don't know where it went. Does that make sense? Father, I speak and I say in Jesus' name, we shut up that hole, Lord. We shut up that thing in the spirit that is blocking, that is stealing. We rebuke the thief in Jesus' name. And I say, lift off of everyone in this room in the name of Jesus. You let go of them right now in the name of Jesus. Let them go in Jesus' name. Father, people that are waiting for business deal to be closed, there's no closure, God. I'm calling for closure on deals, Lord. I'm calling people into action that needs to sign and put a hand on a signature, whatever it needs to be, Lord. I pray for closure in business, Father. I see there's some of you, you're knocking on a door of business. You have an idea, and it's kind of like you feel every time you start running with that idea, you hit a wall. And some of you felt that's God, but I really see it's not. It's literally the enemy blocking you. And if that's you, I want to pray for you. And God, I say in Jesus' name, we break the wall in Jesus' name. We open it up in Jesus' name. And I say that the flow and the divine direction of God will come. That it will come. That breakthrough will be here now in Jesus' name. I break a spirit of poverty, Lord. Not over this group, Father, but over a nation we pray. And you can pray with me now. Father, we lift a spirit of poverty, Lord. We break it in Jesus' name. We say, God, that your spirit of abundance will come. That living from kingdom, Lord, that living from your hand and your release will come, Lord, in Jesus' name. We bind the religious and poverty mindset that people have, Lord. Lord, I even break the religious mindset of tithing. God, I want to break that today in Jesus' name, Father. It should be a joy, and it must be, God. It must be, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for people that needs a job. Who needs a job? Just put up your hand. All right, you can stand. Everyone, if you just stand. Put your hand. If there's someone standing next to you, just put your hand on them. Work is worship, right? So the enemy is stealing worship from the Lord. It's wrong, right? So I want you to release. I pray for divine connections. Pray for that, you know, whatever needs to come, that it will come. So you guys just go for it. Just pray over them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We call in divine connections, Lord. We call in divine connections, Lord. Shakata se terebo. Korobo shantarabaka se te. Yandaraba. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ko shekereba sato robo ko sandaba. Thank you, Holy Ghost. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name, Lord. We bless your name. The rest of you just pray. Let's pray for a debt-free generation. Let's pray that that which should be in the kingdom, that it will come in, right? That the finances will come into the kingdom. Father, so we pray, Lord, I pray for a debt-free generation to come, Lord. We pray for a generation that would stand in generosity and the wealth of the kingdom riches, Lord, that they will be distributors over the earth, Lord, kings and queens, Lord, that will position and be a source, a flow into the world, Lord. Father, we pray for that generation to come, a generation with a vision that is different, Lord. Lord, I pray for this generation with a new understanding that the revelation of heaven would come, the pattern of heaven for business would come, Lord. I pray that this generation would set up the next one, Lord, with ideas, with wisdom, with insight, Lord. Lord, I pray for businessmen in this room, Father. Businessmen and women, Lord, I pray for a release over them, Lord. I pray for new ideas, new systems, God. New industries, Lord. New industries that you will open up, Lord. A creative flow that will come, Lord. And thank you that generosity will drive this further and further, Lord. That we will see in the church a massive breakout, Lord, because of a revelation about this, Lord. We bless you, Lord. Thank you that you love us, that you care for us, that you know us by name, and that you promise to take care of us. What a blessing it is, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. That was fun, was it? Well, I had fun. All right. We're going to have a tea break, and let's say in 15 minutes, so about 25 to, we can be back. There actually is coffee, I believe. All right, so see you. Thank you.